If we don't get to help God weed his garden, who does? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Of course, the answer is angels. At the end of the age, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness." Those are the tares, the poisonous plants that disguise themselves as good grain. They will end up in the fire. Jim has been unfolding the parable of the tares with us. We're ready for the final installment of Seeds and Soils.
Do you recognize from the story that all of the significant things going on in our world are being done supernaturally? The sower is the Son of God, God Himself. The sons, the wheat, the sons of God are people who have been supernaturally saved from their sins by their response to the love and grace of the gospel and through the power and agency of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's supernatural. That's how you became saved. Satan is a supernatural being. He is producing sons. The sons of darkness and the sons in whom God delights, the righteous and the wicked, are growing side by side until the harvest. And the harvest is not, note that, the harvest is not that the sons of light overtake the sons of darkness. No. No, that battle is not for us to fight. When the issues finally come down to resolution and God wants to change the equation, He will send His angels, supernatural beings. Jesus is trying to tell us that while we mortals think we're pretty hot stuff, and while we tend to be pretty arrogant and proud in our smarts and our abilities and our technology and our accomplishments, what we actually know compared to what there actually is less than 0.001%, if even that much. And then while we boast about our freedoms and our rights and our control, we're actually subject to resources and sources and powers that are supernatural. Now let me translate that out for you very simply. The devil is real. Angels are real. Evil is real. And you and I, Christian friend, do not in ourselves have the resources to either control or to change those people around us. And the world in which we live is the byproduct of the majority of the people who inhabit our society. We should not therefore be surprised or stunned when we are ridiculed, mocked by the sons of darkness. Every tear represents a human being who is directly controlled by a supernatural power outside himself. Do you understand that? And unless God supernaturally works in his heart, her heart, and life, that person is powerless to do anything but what comes natural. And the fruit of the flesh is known to all of us. Finally, the parable makes the point that there is a time of harvest. In the passage before you, chapter 13, note with me, please. Just note with me. When Jesus gives the basic elements in verse 37 and 38, he says now the good seed, the one that sows the good seed, Son of God, the field is the world, good seed, sons the kingdom, tares, sons the darkness, the evil who sowed them is the devil. Now watch. From there on, for about four verses, Jesus focuses our attention upon the harvest. Look, middle of verse 39, the harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, that's 3.5 verses out of, that's more than 50% of the explanation. Surely then, Jesus wants us to know that there is hope, that there is a future. He wants us to know that the tares who appear to be in control aren't really in control. They are usurpers, and they are going to be dealt with. They're going to be dealt with at the end of the age, and when they are dealt with, they are going to experience great pain. There will be a burning furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 41, the angels will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That means that everything in our world that opposes God, resists God, and doesn't reflect God's righteousness and holiness is going to be destroyed. Everything. Now, while that includes the adult bookstore, it also includes the hospital. All things that are contrary to God and his word and his righteousness are going to be rooted out supernaturally by the angels, and they are going to be destroyed. All people, those who practice lawlessness, all people are going to be removed, and they are going to be cast into the furnace of fire. You'll note back in the telling of the story in verse 30, the parable says, let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares, bind them in bundles, and burn them. So the first act, when the harvest time comes, at the end of the age, will be the gathering out of his kingdom on earth all those persons who are lawless and all of those institutions that offend. I was trying to think of an illustration of how this might work and draw something from today's world. I found two things that maybe will help. CNN founder and honorary chairman of the Millennium World Peace Summit, Ted Turner, delivered a message at the United Nations to a cheering crowd of 1,000 ministers, monks, and other spiritual leaders from around the world. Mr. Turner, who helped fund the project, spoke on the topic of religious intolerance. Although Ted was raised in a Christian home, and in his younger life, intended to become a minister of the gospel, as he engaged in broader religious studies, Turner decided that, quote, the Christian sect is very intolerant. Christians think they are the only ones going to heaven. And I said, heaven is going to be a mighty empty place with nobody else there. End of quote. Turner now believes that, quote, we are all one race. How's that fit the parable? We are all one race, and there is only one God who manifests himself in different ways. End of quote. That's a terror speaking. That's a child of darkness, deceived himself and speaking deception. I can say that without apology. I can say that to Mr. Turner if he's standing on the platform. He is deceived. There are two races in the world. Christians are not intolerant. God is intolerant. And his word to us presents a non-compromisable statement of truth. We are not the ones who are intolerant. We are reporting that the God who owns this world is not tolerant towards sin. That's what we're reporting. And if we're going to serve him, we must be committed to a certain degree of, quote, intolerance, end of quote, intolerance for the things about which he is not tolerant. He cuts no slack. Well, this business, too, in the parable about how the field is the world and how tares and wheat grow up side by side, and then when the angels come, God boldly says that the tares have been growing in my kingdom. Did you get that? How can that be? Well, there's a physical illustration that may help us to grasp that. Israel and the Palestinians are discussing sharing sovereignty over the Temple Mount in Jerusalem by dividing the Middle East's most sensitive site into quarters. The proposal is being negotiated with American and Egyptian mediation in an effort to reach a breakthrough in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I'm reading, by the way, from a World Bulletin. The Temple Mount has become the key obstacle to a treaty. The United States hopes that dividing that area could reconcile the competing claims of Israelis and Palestinians. The four sections would be, you're not interested in that. The two sides have begun discussing the plan on the sidelines of the United Nations Millennial Summit in New York. Now, officially, the Israelis insist on retaining sovereignty over the Temple Mount while allowing the Palestinians the status of guardians of the holy places, meaning the Islamic shrines under the administration of the Muslim Religious Trust. Now listen, here's what I want you to get. This has been the practice since 1967 when Israel captured East Jerusalem, including the Old City, and subsequently annexed it in a move never recognized by the rest of the world. Now let me tell you what happened. In 1967, Israel, in responding to an aggression from Arab neighbors, won a war that they had no right to win. And in that war, they took full possession, military victory over, all of the city of Jerusalem. At that time, the man in charge of the Israeli military knew that if Israel pressed its claims of sovereignty over the temple area, that temple plateau where the mosque is, that it would cause a holy war and Muslims from Algeria to Afghanistan would come flooding by the millions into Israel, and he did not believe that the Israeli soldiers at that point could hold that territory. So he did what at that time was a very wise diplomatic thing to do. He said, we have won this territory. It's ours. We are going to keep it. However, we are going to commit this area, the Temple Mount, to you Muslims to manage. And there were conditions. 1967, Israel won the war. How would you feel if the United Nations said, hey, you folks over in the United States, you got to give all that land back to Britain and France that you won during the Revolutionary War? Wouldn't that be fun? How would you feel if the United Nations said, hey, you Americans living there in the United States, you got to give all that land back to the Indians that were there ahead of you? How would you feel? You say, no way. No way. At the cross of Calvary, God won the battle. The world is his. Satan has been permitted to manage certain aspects of the earth. And God will continue that program until the time of the harvest. And then God will close out this period of his plan. And he will forcibly execute the divine orders of occupancy by sending his angels, not the church, sending his angels into the world to supernaturally destroy, root out, remove everything that offends God and every person who practices lifestyle choices that are contrary to God's word. They will be rooted out, destroyed, and then the righteous, the sons of the good seed, will inherit this world and enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God manifest upon this earth for 1,000 years. Oh, I'm reminded this morning to say to you, go study your Bibles. God has told us that he sends us into this world not to change the world, but to be his messengers in scrubs, in the classroom, in the home, training our children, in the business world, in the educational world, wherever you are. If you're a child of light, your singular purpose for being here on this earth is to bear witness to the truth to the sons of darkness who are dying. Don't know it. Who are dead in trespasses and sins. And there is no life for them apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Father, thank you for this parable. Boy, the implications are incredible. There's real pain in the punishment that awaits the wicked. There is real joy and peace for the righteous. Wish we had time this morning, Father, to talk about the rapture and how that plays in here. Wish we could talk about the church and how compromised the church has become. Wish we could talk about a lot of things, but this morning we'll be content to talk about this parable and wait for other things in future messages. Now, dear friend, this morning, before you lift your eyes and before I let you go, are you a son of light? You have experienced faith in Jesus Christ. He has forgiven you your sins and broken the power of sin and Satan over your life, and you're free. You're a child of God. If you can say yes to that, be true to him in your scrubs. Be true to him in your home, in your family. You are the only light some in darkness will ever see. And there is no other hope for them. Understand that the Spirit of God is the one who must do the work. All we do is witness. We don't have to convict them. We don't have to convert them. We don't have to win them. We don't have to win the argument. These issues are in supernatural hands. But we do need to witness. What if it is true? This parable. What does that say to you about this coming week? About the exciting challenge of being called by God to represent Him in a world that's compromised by sin and Satan. Perhaps this morning you're sitting here thinking, I'm not sure I'm a child of God. Maybe I'm a tare. Then, dear friend, the hope that God offers to you is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who at the cross of Calvary died for you. He was raised from the grave. And God invites you to experience life and freedom and forgiveness and joy through giving your life to Jesus Christ and inviting Him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. Father, I dismiss these dear brothers and sisters, these friends and neighbors. I pray that You would speak to us. Take us back to this parable to think, to pray, to find ourselves and to see where we are involved. And then empower us by Your Spirit to live as sons of light and to not be compromised or intimidated by those who can only kill the body but cannot touch the soul. Make us clear, convinced, committed to the truth Jesus wants us to understand about our world and about the future through this parable, I pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
If it seems to you like the devil's kids are flourishing in our world and wickedness is growing like weeds, that's not an illusion. It's really happening. And Jesus explained it to us in the parable of the tares. We've been thinking about that the past few days through Jim's sermon called Seeds and Soils. If you'd like to get the entire message on audio CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. And we're offering all 12 sermons in the current preaching series, Stories Jesus Told, Volume 1, for a donation of $42 or more. Right Start is based on the premise that God's Word is living and active. When we put it out into the world, the Spirit illuminates the message differently in each willing heart. We've been sowing the good seed every weekday for more than half a century, thanks to the support of generous listeners like you. If you can help us financially, please get in touch. Call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. The website is rightstartradio.org. When you open that page, you'll find a lot of audio resources. You'll be able to play previous radio programs or play or download the sermons without interruption. And you can sign up to receive Right Start as a daily podcast on iTunes. You can make a secure donation there too, rightstartradio.org. Or you can reach us by tree mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Well, most of us are not farmers, but we are familiar with debt, credit, loans. We should be right at home with Jesus' parable of the unforgiving debtor. Please be with us again on Friday for the next Right Start.